All right.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for salvation. Thank you, God, for all your love, all your provision. Lord, I ask for the filling of your Spirit to minister the word to your church this morning. I'm thankful for each one that's here. And as I've already shared from my heart, what we need, you know, we need you. We need your Spirit to speak to us. You are our portion. You're the only one that can satisfy our hearts. And I pray that you would teach us by your word and by your Spirit this morning, and fill me with your Spirit and help me ministering this word. Help my dear wife for laying the message inside, and Brother Brian with the children in the nursery there. Bless and help there, God. I thank you for the word that's gone forth already. Children's Sunday School Hour, the Adult Sunday School Hour. What a privilege, God, to have your word. What a privilege to have the hope of heaven. What a privilege to have your Spirit living in our hearts. And dear God, we thank you and praise you. I pray that you'd be pleased with all that's done here this morning, and that it would be a sweet sound to your ears and a sweet offering to your heart. And dear God, we do pray, we do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
All right, so we started last week a brief series in Romans chapter 12 on living the Christian life. And last week we saw the Bible, the body, and the believer. And we saw how that our bodies, frankly, belong to God. And he has the right to do with them what he will. And they are his possession. But we understand that the body without the Spirit is what? Dead, isn't it? And part of our spirit, part of our being, of course, is our mind. And we've heard the saying, mind over matter. What's that mean? Well, we're supposed to live our lives by what we know is right. Now, how many of you, your body is, you always want to do what's right? Probably most of us couldn't raise our hand there. Sometimes we want to do what's wrong. Well, what does the Bible say? Do what you know is right. And by the way, don't expect that you'll have the strength to do it. Ask God for it. And by the way, we don't always even want to do what's right, so we have to ask God to change our desires. Don't be afraid to do that. It's having our mind surrendered to him. And so the title of the message this morning is A Mind to Mind the Master. A mind to mind the master. We ought to be followers of God, followers of Christ, and be determined to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 22:37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, what? And with all thy mind. All your thinking, all your plans ought to reflect that love for God. We think about being a Christian. If you are a Christian, you have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God. Isn't that an amazing thing to think of? I'm not talking about something that's going to happen in the future. I'm talking about right now. It's already taken place. The Bible says about what God has done for us through Christ in Colossians 1:13. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. If you're saved, you are part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, according to the Bible. And you're living in that kingdom now. You're living in a different realm. Brother Dennis, how many years were you on a submarine?
About 11.
About 11 years on a submarine. Would you say that was like living in a different realm, Brother Dennis? He was living in a different realm in the submarine. And they made their own air and made their own water. And had plenty of spacious sleeping quarters though, didn't you? Yeah, packed in there like sardines, I'm sure. Living in a different realm. The Rogers, our missionaries in Brazil, live in a different realm. They have butterflies that can bite you and kill you there. I mean, you have to watch out for the bugs. Okay? I forget the name of the moth, but when Joe and Val are over in Japan, they have some moths over there, the slug moth or something, I think it is. It's got little spines, and often it's on the underside of leaves when you're doing your gardening stuff. And when you touch it, it's a burning thing like you were branded if you touch those spikes. A different realm. I read an article about a pastor who was baptizing in Australia, got ate by, or no, it was in Africa somewhere, I forget where it was. Ethiopia. Got ate by an alligator. And baptized, one went to baptize another, and the alligator jumped out of the lake that they were in there and drug him in. I guess the congregation managed to save the body, but they didn't let the alligator get the body, but the pastor was killed. A different realm. We don't have to worry about that here. We could baptize in the river, we'd be okay, all right? But if we lived in that different realm, we best make plans for it, amen? And live wisely in the realm that we live in. Our missionaries oftentimes live in that culture shock, they call it. They live here in this land like you and I have, many of them. Then they go to a foreign land, they have to adjust. I had a missions teacher in Bible college who was missionaries to the nomads in the Sahara Desert. And he would talk about going shopping at the meat market. And at the meat market, when you went shopping, you picked the cut of meat that had the most flies on it. Because the cut of meat had the most flies on it showed that it wasn't spoiled yet. When the meat spoils, the flies leave. Of course, they plant their eggs and they hatch in it. But when the meat spoils, the flies leave it. So you bought the cut of meat that had the most flies on it. Different culture. I was asked Brother Dennis, I was doing some work on my well. I had to dig a water line. And how deep down should I go here, you know, for the frost? He says, oh, probably about 18 inches or so, I think, is what they call for. And then your line won't freeze. Well, that works here, but that wouldn't work up in Pennsylvania where I came from. You better get about 3 feet down there and for the frost line. But just living in a different realm. The Weimers in Iceland. You might think, well, if I was up there, I'd certainly want to get a hot water heater. Well, you wouldn't need one. They have geothermal heating in Iceland. Though it be freezing cold, they have to put mechanisms on their faucets to regulate the heat so that it's not too hot. Different climate, different realm. Different world, so to speak. And you have to get used to living in it. Listen, believer, if you've been born again, you live in a different realm. You've been translated into the kingdom of God, and things aren't the same here as that world that we lived in just before we got trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we need to learn to live within this realm if we're going to enjoy all that God has for us and be effective for His glory. When you learn to live within this realm, as a believer, you live in a realm where weakness can be strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul writes this, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, troubles," he says, "in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." See, if we suffer for Jesus' sake, then we can find strength in that suffering. The lesson this morning to the children was on Job and Job's suffering. How he yet trusted God. And found that strength that he needed to glorify God's name. You live in a realm where weakness can be strength, believer. You live in a realm where servants are chief. Where servants are chief. Jesus taught in Mark 10:42. He called his disciples to him. He says, "You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them." That's not how it works for great ones in our realm, folk. Jesus went on to say, he says, "But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister." You want to be great in the eyes of God? You want to be a great disciple? By the way, you ought to want to be. Then be a servant. And serve God. Serve one another. "Whosoever you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Even Jesus, if the Son of God became the utmost servant, how much ought you and I to follow in his footsteps? What an amazing realm that we live in. We live in a realm where wisdom is foolishness. And by the way, foolishness is wisdom. When you stepped out of that lost world that you lived in, into the world of Christ, what the world calls foolishness is wise for you. And what the world called wise, what? Is foolishness for you and I. This is the realm that we live in. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching is foolishness to the world. I'll guarantee you, there are some people who have visited this church, and because there's a man up here with a loud voice and proclaiming the word of God, and maybe getting a little excited about it from time to time, there are some people that have not come back because of that. I'll guarantee you. You know why? Because preaching's out today. We want a little see-through lectern of glass, you know, and have a little lecture, a little talk about what the Bible says. The Bible says God has chosen the foolishness of what? Preaching to save them that believe. And by the way, God must not have planned on changing his mind about that, because he put it in ink. All right? He wrote it down. By the way, it's written in blood, we might as well say. And so we'll just stick to that. There's a place for teaching. There's a place for preaching. They're needed. this realm that we live in. So how can we live wisely? Well, we think about this. We'll learn some things from this passage this morning. First of all, number one, did I not point? Yeah, number one, don't think too highly of yourself. Number one, don't think too highly of yourself. Look at verse 3. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself, what? More highly than he ought to think. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Listen, we can't do this Christian life thing. Jesus has to live it through us. Peter was kind of blinded to this when they were going to Jerusalem. And Jesus was telling them about things that were going to happen in Jerusalem. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I, not me. How'd that work out for you, Peter? Didn't work out too good, did it? Don't think too highly of yourself. Him that thinketh he standeth, what? Take heed lest he fall. Well, I may commit sins, but I'd never do that one. Watch out. Watch out. Given the right circumstances, you and I are capable of committing any sin the Bible talks about. Or should I say the wrong circumstances? We're capable of it. Don't think too highly of yourself. Paul, talking about Christians in general, says, we're the circumcision. We're the group. We're the believers which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have what? No confidence in the flesh. Nothing. No confidence in the flesh. I like what he said in Galatians 6:3. If a man think himself to be something, listen to these four words, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Paul didn't say, if a man thinks himself to be something, when he ought to just be thinking himself to be lowly and not nothing. He says he shouldn't think of himself to be something when he is nothing. You see, the value that we have is this. We were created in the image of God. That's our value. And he loves us because he chose to love us. Nothing of ourselves that is worthy of that. One sister came to her pastor and confessed, Pastor, I think I have a problem with vanity. Every day I look in the mirror for about half an hour just observing how beautiful I am. Her pastor replied, well, sister, that's not vanity, that's just imagination. Don't think too highly of yourself. Secondly, don't think too lowly of yourself. Don't think too lowly of yourself. Look at the end of verse 3. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has gifted every Christian. Well, God could never use me. That's not true. When you got born again, the Bible says God gave you a gift. Don't you ever think God can't use you. And don't ever think that you're not needed in the church. You are. Don't think too lowly of yourself. That's a trick of the devil too. No, God can use you. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, you see. Don't think too lowly of yourself. You're a part of the body of Christ, and you are needed in the fellowship of God. Every one of us has been given gifts. Paul talking about the body of Christ and comparing it to the body in 1 Corinthians 12. He says in verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." He goes on to say, "For the body is not one member, but many." If the foot shall say, "Because I'm not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body?" If the ear shall say, "Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body?" If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Your body is not just one big ear, is it? What was the name of that monster thing? What was that name of that little guy that had that? He was the eyeball. Mike, yeah. Yeah. Are you Mike? No. You have what? Hands? Eyes? Ears? Nose? Mouth? The body has many members. And all are important. Did you think about your left eye this morning? I didn't, and that's actually my best eye. I didn't. Kathy and Lois were sharing how they're thankful for that they can see out of their eyes better with the cataract surgery, and how precious that is. That sight. That's a blessed thing. But you know, the eye is not a strong member, is it? Matter of fact, your God made your eye, your body, so your eyes, you blink. I look out here and I see people blinking. I forget how many times a person blinks in a day. It's amazing. But you know why? Because just a little piece of dust in the wrong place, a speck of something in the wrong place, what? Can do some severe damage to your eye. It's not a strong member, but it's an important member, isn't it? It's an important member. We realize the importance, and so we highly honor it. We realize the importance of a member, a limb, or an organ when it is injured or missing. Then we realize you never stub your little toe, you know, and I'm telling you, your whole body hurts. All right, we're all members. And God has something for us all to do. Verse 2 says, according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. He didn't miss one Christian. Every Christian has something to do in the body of Christ. And God will use you to influence others for Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all things save some." God can use me to in some way lead another to Christ. Whether they would pray when you or I would talk with them, or we would have a part in them praying when someone else would talk to them. I think about the woman of Samaria. After 4 years of Bible college, she went back, and 4 years of doctorate, you know, theology, she went back to Samaria. No, she didn't. You know what she did? She went to Samaria and said, "Come see a man and told me all that ever I did." She just went and told somebody, "Hey, let me tell you what happened to me." Any Christian can do that. Any Christian can do that. And God will use it. tell on Lois this morning. She wasn't feeling well this week. Had to go to emergency. Okay. She knows this story because she told me. She had to go to emergency. And wifey went in to see her. She wanted you to ride home. She's okay. And she noticed where she was sitting, there was a track there on the table. You see, we can do something, can't we? We can do something that God has called us to do. Don't think too lowly of yourself. You see, we can do that. Thirdly, think soberly of yourself. Look at verse 3. Don't think too highly of yourself. Middle of the verse, we are to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Soberly. You know, the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. That's another lesson. But God does give those gifts. And we see that some of them even here in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophesy, let us prophesy. Ministry, let us wait on ministering. Then be a servant. Teach. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. And there's different gifts. Well, I'm saved, so I can be a pastor of a church. Well, maybe you can't. Maybe you're not gifted for that. Maybe God hasn't called you to that. Think soberly. Find out what your gifts are. And be prayerful about that. Everybody doesn't have all the gifts. Nobody has all the gifts, but everybody has some gift. And you need to get with God and find out what that is. I like what evangelist Greg Laurie said about discovering your gift. I was listening to him one day. He said he got saved. He tells people, you know, I just tried everything. If there was something the church needed done, I wanted to do it. And I found out there was some things that God blessed me in. And being willing to do anything, God was able to show me what my gift was. I know there's all these spiritual gift tests and all. I've never been big on those things, okay? Like something I figure out in my human reason and logic is going to point you to the spiritual gift that God gave you. God's going to... You think God's going to hide that from you if you want to serve Him? Oh, I could have used them, but didn't take a spiritual gift test. There goes their reward. It's not going to happen. We want to serve Him. He's not going to hide that from us. And by the way, if we're not open to serving Him, why should He show it to us? Right? Well, God, I'll put it on the table and let me decide if I want to be your servant, God, when I see what you want me to do. It doesn't work that way. Remember last week, your body belongs to who? God. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Lay it all on the table, folks. We sing it often. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. And God will show you. And then, by the way, and often others will know your gift as you seek ways to serve. Others will become aware of your gift. Galatians 2:7, Paul's talking about how he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and Peter was the apostle to the Jews. And Paul writes this in Galatians 2:7, he talks about those that were observing their ministries. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, other people saw God's blessing on Peter with the circumcision, and other people saw God's blessing upon Paul, what? With the Gentiles. Other people may see what your gift is. You might want to ask them, some of the people you hang around and you minister to. They may be able to help you in your search. But God will lead you to that. And then fourthly, and finally this morning, think spiritually about yourself, or think spiritually through Christ. Look what he says in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now some have tried to say that God's talking about three categories, or I think he's talking about all the same thing. God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. Yeah, that's what that all, God's will is all those things. And we are to be walking in his will. Prove means discern. We're supposed to be able to discern what's best for us. You know, some things aren't sin, but they're not what's best for us. Well, I sure like to golf. Well, nothing wrong with golfing. I sure like to fish. Nothing wrong with fishing. There wouldn't be if I wasn't here preaching this morning, though. There wouldn't be if I was out there today. When I'd be in God's house, then that would become a stumbling block to me. Because even though fishing's not bad in itself, if fishing takes the place of being in the house of God, when I could be in the house of God, now I've made something that's not bad bad for me. You see? And we need to recognize those things, be wise in those things. All things are lawful for me, what? But all things edify not. What things will build me up in Christ? Is there something in my life that is hindering me from growing in Christ? Whether it's a sin, obviously, confess that and forsake it. But it might not be a sin in itself. It might just be something that needs to be laid aside so you can become a better Christian and obey God and be more faithful. Thinking spiritually. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? The end of the verse says, but we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We've been transferred into a new realm. Think about where you're living, Christian. How God is dealing with you. You're not a part of this world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world, the Bible says. You're no longer a part of this world. You're not going to stay here. Don't put your roots down too deep. God's going to call you out. Amen. And do all you do for the kingdom. Everything for the glory of God. The best you can for his glory. Whatever God calls you to do. As Christians, we've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. By the way, we are all able ministers. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says that God hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, that's the old law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, we've been learning about that, haven't we? But the Spirit giveth life. If all you had was the Ten Commandments, you wouldn't have any hope of salvation. You know why? Because you haven't kept them all, neither have I. The letter killeth. But God says he sent his son full of what? Grace and truth. He came to give us grace that we might know the truth, that the truth might not kill us. Because we haven't kept the truth. He kept it for us. And so we know grace through the New Testament, through the New Covenant. And now we can go back in love and walk with God. And Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. We can experience that in our lives. We are able ministers. We can be witnesses. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, every believer has that, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You know what comes naturally with believing? Being a witness. Well, I can't be a witness. That's not my gift. No, 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 no. That doesn't work. That's why we were saved. Ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many believers has he come upon? Every one of them. And ye what? Shall be witnesses unto me. Every one of us. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, out of the uttermost parts of the earth. And we are witnesses. By the way, if that doesn't convince you, 1 John 5:10 says this about all believers. He that believeth on the Son of God, listen to this, hath the witness in himself. Boom! I can't be a witness. What do you mean you have the witness living in you? Certainly you can be a witness. Certainly I can be a witness. In all that we do, in all that we say, he has enabled us. You see, but it takes some practice to getting used to living in another realm. Brother Dennis, you have some training to live in that submarine for, how long was that?
11 years.
11 years on and off here and there, yeah. What was the longest time you were underwater?
About 60 days.
60 days. Can you imagine not seeing the sun for 60, for 2 months? And you know what? That took some training for that. And it took some practice and some getting used to, if you want to put it that way. And listen, you don't step out of the world and into the kingdom of God and not realize you're going to need some training. Not realize it's going to take some getting used to. It's going to take some practice on my part and upon your part to recognize, hey, my feet are on this earth, but I no longer belong here. I'm a pilgrim passing through. And I have a different way that I need to live now. If things are to go well for me here and above, I've got a different code I've got to live by now. That's the realm that we've stepped into. That's why we need what? To be transformed what? By the renewing of our mind. Thinking spiritually. About what God has done for us, about what He will do, He will yet do for us, and what He can do, what He's called us to. All these things, thinking spiritually through Christ. I think about Hebrews 11, and I'll close with this. Hebrews 11, you know that to be the hall of faith. And it talks about all the great things, many great things that God did through people who what? Just trusted Him and believed Him. Great things that God accomplished through those who trusted Him and believed Him. I'm looking for my verse. Let's see. 11... He says in verse 13, they died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. By the way, you live in a world where you're supposed to focus on things you can't see now. You realize that? Talk about a different realm, okay? They died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's every believer. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. What have they done? By faith they've saying, I am no longer of this world. I am a disciple of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm headed for glory. I'm in the Lord's kingdom now. I have a different life to live. They declared it plainly. And we need to declare that plainly in our lives. Then look what it says in the next verse. And truly... If they had been, what's the word? Mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If all Abraham thought of was Ur of the Chaldees, oh, I miss that place. Boy, Mama cooked some such good beans and whatever. If all that was on their mind, guess what? They might have found themselves right back there. If they'd been mindful of where God called them from. If that was all that was on there, if their mind was full of the old place they lived, they probably, the Bible says, would have returned back there. You know what? If our mind believer stays full of this world and all our focus is on here and around us, guess where we're probably going to wind up walking? Like the rest of the world. We can't be have our mind full of just temporal things and just worldly things. We need to have our mind what? We need to have our affection set on things above, amen? And not on things on the earth, the Bible says. And our mind full of that. And as our focus is upon that and our mind's upon that, my wifey and I ride motorcycles and we took some lessons and safety lessons and such before we did. And one of the things that we learn riding a bike, you have to be careful about, where you look is where you go. So you can't be riding along, you know, and see a nice big old lake or something or beautiful house up on the hill and be looking like this over this. Because you're looking like this, pretty soon you're going to be going that way. And that's the way it is with our focus. If we're just looking at this life and temporal things, seeking those things for the satisfaction, fulfillment of our heart, that's where we're going to go. We need to have our hearts turned what? To heaven. Our hearts turned to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Our hearts listened for that trumpet, amen, and for the Lord to return. And as we have our hearts focused upon that, two things will happen. We won't be proud because we're looking at the one who is holiness. But all the while we're in a sense thinking less of ourselves as far as that goes, realizing that we're not worthy of His grace, all the while we're looking at Him, we're walking in that direction. And we're actually becoming more godly and more Christ-like. You see, in the Bible, those that were rewarded says, well, what in the world did we do? He says, well, I was in prison, didn't you, minister? I was hungry, and you fed me. They weren't aware that they were righteous. And unfortunately, the sinners weren't aware they were sinners, were they? When did we see you hungry and didn't feed you? You know, when did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? Why? Because one had their eyes focused on Christ. The other had their eyes focused on the world. See that? That's where God wants you and I have our eyes focused on Him. And we'll end up going the right. He that put his hand to the plow and looketh back is what? Not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You're not ready. You look back, you're going to make a crooked row. But you look straight ahead. Don't look where you've been. Look straight ahead. For that mark, guess what? You're going to make a straight line. And that's where God wants us. Looking to Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your word this morning. I thank you for this challenge in Romans to lay it all on the altar. In the earlier chapters, you explained salvation so clearly. Your great love for us was shown there by the price that you paid. And the freedom that you have given us to serve you now. And now what is left is for us to apprehend that, to claim that, to walk in what you have bought for us and purchased for us. And I pray you'd help us each one to do it, dear God. And Father, we thank you for salvation in Christ. Father, there'd be one in here that doesn't know for sure they're going to be in heaven when they die. I pray they get that settled. I pray they pick up one of our gospel tracts and let us know. Let me know. We'll show them how to be saved. They can just read through that, trust you as Savior. everyone saved, God, we're all yours and should be. Help us and use this for your glory. Help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.